everyone. How
now
are
I
you?
Can look
glad
back
to see
and...
you. Welcome to. This is not the shack, as you can tell. I don't have this much room in the shack. Glad to see you all here. Now that's the part where I just make things up.
Okay.
It goes a little bit like this. What's going on? I'm so glad to see everybody hanging out, just you and me. And Amanda. There she is. Amanda Knox here. In the well-lit shack today. Hello from England. England in the house. I'm glad you're here.
Hello.
That's kind of cocky. I want you to try it. I think I'll be insulting you.
I don't know what's going on. I feel sad and wrong.
Not all the time, just sometimes. Mainly in the mornings. Before coffee.
Gotta drink that coffee to feel good. Maybe a little tiny walk around my sweet neighborhood.
Australia, Queensland. I'd like to walk around your neighborhood. Hey, Colorado, how are you?
Well, Reno's in the house. What's going on, Reno? I'm so glad to see you.
I think Reno's kind of up and coming. It used to be a sketchy place.
You wouldn't tell people you were going to Reno. You wouldn't say I'm going to casino. You'd say I'm going to Vegas, even though you meant Reno. Well, things are going tough and hard, and you got a bunch of crap in your front yard. You'd go down to Reno and make that money back. Well, but Reno's kind of gentrified now, and people flying in with a holy cow saying, look at that, you got nice bathrooms now. And even though people push their oxygen around, you can have fun in that town.
Oh, Reno, exactly. It's a good place to be. Well, welcome to Saturday. I'm glad y'all are here. We're going to kick things off in just a second. We have a very special show for you today. We've got some fine musicians on the show and some fine writers and a lioness survivor here, as well as some children. You can't have a show without children, at least not a fun one. Get so serious if you don't have kids around. Everyone just says blah, 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 what's going on with the weather? But if you have kids around, well, things are just a little bit better. You can laugh and you can say silly things instead of just boring grown-up stuff. Isn't that right?
I think it's right.
I think. So you can say I think with a kid and they're into it. They're like, yeah, I think that too. All right, let's get things kicked off. I'll walk over here.
Reno,
exactly. It's up and coming. It really is. We flew into Reno a while ago to go to California, which I think a lot of people do. They use it as like, it's California's front door, Reno's back door. Okay.
Well, the rain is on the window and the fire's burning bright. I'm so glad to be here on this wonderful night. Oh, the wind is howling, and oh, the tide is high. And I'm so glad that all of you stopped by.
Well, welcome to the shack. Welcome to Saturday. I'm so glad that you guys are all here. To paint this picture for you, this shack is moving slowly from side to side because there's a wind today from the north at about 5 knots. And you can tell because the shack moves at a 2-degree angle at 5 knots. You don't want to be in here when there's a 20-knot wind because it bends over and it leans on your face. It wasn't constructed well, but it survived because it leans, like so many of us do. We have a heck of a show for you. Amanda Knox is here in the shack today. Doug Pine is here. Sarah Atkinson-Gosh is here. We've got some stories to tell, and we've got some songs to sing right here in the shack. But to kick things off, I want to invite a wonderful woman, someone who is incredibly inspiring and is a New York Times bestseller. And she's a host of a podcast called Labyrinths, along with her husband, Christopher Robbins. This is Amanda Knox to read us a poem. What are you reading for us, Amanda?
So my husband, Christopher Robinson, and I wrote this poetry book called The Cardio Tesseract, and I'm going to read a poem called Mirror Theory. How to love you not as an object, but subject, is no easy feat. Proceeding from the granite fact of your jaw to your chest is an objectifying act. I am not so sure it's possible to love without splintering you or consuming your core. But perhaps the reciprocal thought of you loving me as I love you in the infinite loop of our mirroring eyes approximates a love without shredding, where you never see me, and even at our wedding, I never see you either. For in our minds meeting, we see as each other.
Mm, that's beautiful. Now, did you write that together, or did who wrote that?
Yeah, this is a fun little book of it's a collection of the poems that we wrote to each other over the course of our courtship. But okay. Of course, because we're highly collaborative people, he would write me a poem and then I would fix it, and I would write him a poem and he would fix it, and so we both have our hands on these poems.
Oh, very cool.
It's kind of hard to tease out who wrote it to whom anymore.
Okay, so the chiseled jawline is that your? I can't tell because he's got a mask on.
He has quite the chiseled jawline, I must say. But then, of course, there's the chest part, which, you know, whose chest are we talking about? It's all objectifying.
Right. I love that. I'd like to explore that over some beers at some point. Well, thank you, Amanda. In my little town, we have a post office, and it is it's how we keep in touch with each other. We don't have the Craigslist. We were stuck between two counties, so they couldn't figure out how to put us on the Craigslist. And so what we do is we put our wants and needs up on the corkboard with little index cards. And I like to go and get them and read them to you. So here's what's happening in our little town. Kincaid is offering a pickup all day Wednesday. And if you need anything moved, just leave a note on the bar at the Wayward Stranger and he'll come help you out. Kincaid came back into town last week. He was gone for 20 years, and we were all glad to see him go. He left in a cloud of smoke and burning rubber, and he's trying to make up for it by using his truck to help people out. So if you need anything moved on Wednesday, just let him know over there at the bar. The Ocean Creek Center for the Arts is preparing for the spring fling, and we're looking for clamshells for a large wall mosaic. Every year has a theme, and this theme this year is bivalves. So if you want to donate either clams, mussels, or oysters, please drop them off at the old barn up there by the creek. The Chowder House is offering a special gooey duck chowder on Wednesday and Thursday. It's first come, first served, and this is the gateway drug into eating gooey ducks. It's best to have it in chowder first. You get used to the texture, and then you just can't get enough of it. And the next thing you know, you're elbow deep in the sand trying to fix your habit. Nemo is reading love poems on the front porch of the creek water on Friday night. The first five people to come watch his love poems get a free appetizer. Nemo has been courting Elizabeth here for months, and he got her to go out with him once, and he had the night of his life. She did not. And he's been trying to get her to be interested in him, and she loves poems. So he'll be reading poems all night long there on the front porch, hoping she comes by. Well, Pop-Pop says, pick up a piece of trash today. It's the little things that matter. Also, he installed a pull-up bar by the driveway. His record is 8. Feel free to try it out. Lastly, Donnell lost his boots again on 101, somewhere between Meriwether and Elk Spit. It's a pair of extra toughs. If you see him laying there, size 11, pick him up and put him next to his front door. So since I have Amanda Knox here in the shack, and Amanda Knox knows a few things about sensationalizing headlines, I wanted to ask her to sensationalize a couple headlines of things that are happening here in Ocean Creek. So are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. So this, I just pulled this off the corkboard. The creek water has new silverware. How would that come across in like a European tabloid?
Beware werewolves. Creek water increases arsenal.
Amazing. See, that would make me read it. I'd be into that.
But also, what does it mean?
But what does it mean? Read on. Dana Ray got a flat tire looking for a ride to Astoria.
Lost lady hitchhikes to Goonies.
That's perfect. Astoria and Goonies go hand in hand. What's going on with this lost lady? What is she doing? Now I want to know. Dorothy's 93rd birthday is in July, and there's a party on the beach.
Undead vixen flaunts longevity seaside.
Oh my gosh. I think Dorothy would actually love that. So that's fantastic. All right. Thanks, Amanda. We're going to bring Amanda back in just a little bit to have a little deeper conversation. But before that happens, I want to read a few notes of celebration. These are people who write in to the show. Beyond My Little Corner, that's her handle, says, my grandson read to me for the first time ever today. Well, that's sweet. Good job, little guy. Kathy Linguana, I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that. Let's just call her Iguana. Kathy Iguana, thankful for daffodils. And she quotes Walt Whitman saying, and then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. Man, that guy could throw down a rhyme. Let's see. Me and Fred say, I'm thankful for sunshine today and the cool wind of the Dover coast. I'm sorry. Let me say that one more time. Me and Fred saying, I'm thankful for sunshine today and the cool wind of the Devon coast, which I think is part of England. Down south on a peninsula. I think it has two coasts, actually. Those are beautiful things. And Jonathan David Scholes says, I'm thankful every day for my friend Grant Gosh. I will always be grateful and buy the beer. John always writes these things in. I'm not sure how he comes up with them. So I want to thank my sponsors for the show today. This is a note to Blue Tarps. So there was a dripping sound at the Miller's house, and Kathy looked over to Bill and said, do you hear that? And they were in bed at the time. And he said, don't worry, darling, I'll get to it. And the next night, the same thing. He said, I'll get to it. And the next night, I'll get to it. Then, the next night, they were woken up by a rush of water cascading through the ceiling, creating a lake effect in their bedroom. And then that crashed into the living room and on into the basement. And eventually, they were laying in bed looking up through a hole in the roof. And it all could have been prevented if they had put a blue tarp over the roof when the dripping sound started. So if you have any issues that you need to get to, but you're not quite ready to get after it, cover it with a blue tarp. Blue tarps, it is the natural first step in fixing something down the road. Do not delay. Cover your project in a blue tarp today. All right. I'm so excited to bring Sarah Atkinson, Gosh, and Doug Pine up to the Shack stage to sing a little song by Sarah Jarosz. This is called Early Morning Light.
Troubles just begun. You and me, the troubled ones. How are we supposed to learn when to give up on this turn? Maybe we should try our hands with some kind of different plans. Maybe that will make you see all the things you meant to me. So I'll move on down the line, thinking I'll make it better this time. Moving far on down the track, thank you. creeps into my bedroom quiet. I'll close the blinds to keep it out. My whole world is darker now. Maybe I should head back home. Maybe I should sleep alone. Maybe that will make me see all the things you meant to me. But I'll move on down the line, thinking I'll make it better this time. Moving far on down the track, and you won't see me.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much for playing. We gave this song to Doug Pine to practice a couple days ago, and he knocked it out of the park. It sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I was just staring at Doug blankly until he responded. What do I say?
Well, put me on the spot.
Words. So we're going to bring Doug back in a little bit to play a song. Sarah, you sound beautiful as always. Yeah, I get to hear that voice. Almost every day, it's the most angelic thing, especially when it's asking me to do the dishes. So it has been a wet and wild week in my little town of Ocean Creek, where fresh water meets salt and where the sky meets the sea. It's been an eventful week. And it all started on Wednesday when Donnell Donnell, who owns the Doodle Dog Daycare and Small Engine Repair up on the 101, decided that he would install a photo booth. Because what's been happening is all these people in Portland have been buying these Doodle Dogs, and they want to take them to the beach, but they don't want them to get sandy. And so they bring them up to Donnell Donnell's, and they leave them there for the day. And Donnell figured that he could charge extra if he had this image of the ocean where people could get their picture taken without actually taking the dog to the beach. And so he was trying it out. He'd get down there with his favorite doodle dog, Rudel, and take a picture, and then he'd look at it, but something wasn't right. So he'd take another picture and look at it, and it was obviously off, and the third picture looked the same. All the colors were perfect, but his hair looked gray, and he knew that wasn't right because his hair was black. And so he asked Cheryl, he said, "What's going on with this photo? It looks like my hair is gray." And she said, "Well, it is." And he was so disheartened by this that he drove down to Seaside, where not a lot of people knew him, and he went to the Fred Meyer, and he went to the men's hair care section, and he bought three different hair dyes. He bought one called New York Knight, but spelled like you spell a knight in shining armor. Another one called Midnight, spelled the same way. And another one that just was a black box. And so that evening, he put all these hair dyes in his hair, and he mixed it all up, and it started to make his head hurt. And things started steaming because you shouldn't put all these dyes together. They created this chemical reaction. And he was so frightened by it that he ran down Main Street to Dorothy's house. And he was standing outside her house, and he looked like a crazy person. His hair was sticking straight up. And Dorothy saw this taking place. And she ran and grabbed her 10-inch cast iron pan and walked outside. And she hit Donnell on the head because she thought he was an intruder, and he fainted, knocked out cold. So the ambulance came and took Donnell off to the Meriwether Hospital, and Dorothy came to visit him the next day. And when she came to see him, he had this faux hawk, which is where you shave your head right down the center, and it's just hair on either side. And the problem was that the hair dye jammed the razor at the hospital, and so he looked even more ridiculous. And so Dorothy looked down at him and said, "You know what? You're a silly, silly man. You need to age gracefully. Most people don't get that privilege to age much at all." And he looked at her and he smiled, this beautiful woman, this angelic older woman with beautiful gray hair and smile lines. And he realized, it's true. I need to age just a little bit better on the inside as well. And that's the news from my little town, where the people are as wild as the weather and as salty as the sea. So I want to bring Doug Pine back up to the Shack stage here to play a song called "Oh Lord, I Just Bought a Tractor." This is an original song by Doug Pine.
And my musical partner, Rick Doms, I have to give full credit. And this song is about a local character here on Vashon that is a world-class harmonica player that we have the privilege of playing with from time to time. But it's his story. Forgot to take my capo off.
We're singing way up there.
I'm a true professional. Just said the Lord will be here Thursday, and I wonder what that's gonna mean for me. If he could only wait until next Sunday, well, I'd still have time to go pick up that key. Well, I got a big old place down in Frog Holler. There's holes to fill, so many stumps to dig. I'll make it nice so I don't live in squalor. Please, Lord, give me time to use my rig. Hold on, Lord, I just bought a tractor. You picked a real bad time to come for me. Your timing, Lord, really is a factor. Lord, will you wait another week or three? Please pick another time, Lord, for your comeback. Your timing, Lord, it has me asking why. That brand new tractor that you see right out back, if I don't get to use it, Lord, I'll die. Hold on, Lord, I just bought a tractor. You picked a real bad time to come for me. Your timing, Lord, it really is a factor. Lord, will you wait another week or three for me?
Beautiful.
Why,
that's wonderful.
Thank you. It's a heartwarming story about stuff.
When did you write that song?
I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Mike bought a tractor, and he was so excited about it. Everybody on the island knew that. I got a tractor! I'll come and work for you. I'll do anything. And then we were sitting around drinking one day, and he said, what if Jesus comes back before I get to use this thing? And I thought, there's a song. And there you go.
He didn't come back, though, yet, has he?
No.
Oh, good. So you can still get your front yard plowed if you need to.
He sold the tractor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Too much pressure.
Too much pressure. He was getting calls left and right, and he just couldn't deal with it, I suppose.
It's a lot when you have a tractor. Exposure. It's like you're a famous person.
Oh,
a lot
gosh,
of phone
yeah.
calls.
And on this island,
right.
the phone literally never stops.
Your first name just gets replaced with the tractor in people's
yeah.
cell phones.
Yeah.
Tractor guy.
Tractor guy.
Well, thanks so much for playing that song. Will you stick around and play us out in just a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome. So I've got Amanda Knox here, and I'm so curious about what life looks like for you these days. I was locked into your story like so many people were when I was younger. I'm trying to think exactly how old I was, but I was like, oh, man, that could be me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I would do in that situation. In fact, I'd probably still be there.
Well, it's nice of you to think that could have been me, because that wasn't everyone's reaction. A lot of people were like, oh, she must be a crazy person to be going through that experience. She must be guilty. That's the only explanation. So
I always thought you were cool.
Oh,
I was like,
well, thanks.
She's cool. She didn't do that. She seems pretty cool.
Today, life is very different, obviously. I'm a new mom. That was the babbling that mm-hmm. we all heard in the background. So that takes up a lot of my time. I'm thinking a lot about how to, I have a daughter. And I don't know if I potentially could have the same sort of crazy worry if I had a son, because now that I'm familiar with the criminal justice system, I understand that it sucks up a lot of our sons and sort of buries them in a grave before they have had a chance to really live. Mm. But there's something about bringing a little girl into the world after I've been in it and thinking about how do I help her celebrate the world as much as I feel like it needs to be celebrated, and how much do I protect her from the things that we still haven't figured out as people.
Yeah. What have you come up with?
honestly, like my big sort of realization is that I just need to be really willing to answer difficult questions. I think that's something that maybe our parents' generation was not as used to. Like, they felt like there were only certain kinds of questions that were appropriate to answer for young people who are coming up into the world. They wanted the world to be a better place than they knew it to be, and they wanted you to sort of go into it with this naive innocence. But I think that the minute you are old enough to start asking questions is the minute that you deserve answers. And they should be honest answers, age appropriate, obviously. But yeah. Like, I wish I had known that I could ask more questions, and that it was okay to be unsure about how things worked in the world, and it was okay to ask for help.
Yeah, I feel like our parents' generation wasn't so much in the vulnerability sharing space.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it was all probably with best intentions, but...
Right, sometimes... and they're always like, say as I do, do not do, or do as I say, not do as I do, or say as I do, whatever. Yeah, that...
Fool me once.
Good one, good one. you can't get fooled again.
You're not going to get fooled. You're just not. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, do as I say, not as I do. But it's like, also, you didn't really tell me what you did.
Right.
Like, that's what I would have loved to know.
Right.
And
totally.
It's funny, the sort of things that came out, like the things that my parents confessed to me about their youth the second I was in prison, because they were like, oh, kid, you're not doing too bad. Of all the people that in this family, you're the least one who deserves to be in prison right now.
Oh, wow. Listen to this. So you're in prison and then having to, like, kind of think through all these things that happened that you didn't know about. Well, how kind of them to be able
yeah,
to share.
Yeah, it was a good sharing moment.
Well, I wanted to ask this, too, because that could have been me, that could have been anybody in that situation. And, you know, I often ask myself, like, how would you show up if you really were put in dire straits. And I don't know, and maybe you don't know until you're in that position, but I'm curious how you were able to persevere in a situation that I'm sure at times felt very hopeless. And there's a lot of people who might not be in prison, but have situations in their life right now that feel very hopeless. Mm-hmm. And what would your advice be to someone in a situation that feels like you're trapped?
Yeah, no, I have this conversation with a lot of people because, you know, everyone has something, right? And sometimes it's a genuinely big thing that's taken over your life, like a disease or like prison. And sometimes it's something a little more vague and you can't really put your finger on it. But all of them are painful and all of them make you feel trapped. That's the thing that really sucks, is feeling like you're trapped in your own life and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that for me, I think it was almost a bittersweet thing where like my life became so limited so suddenly, and I only had so many opportunities, and I was facing 26 years in prison. So it's like, okay, well, what, like, I very, very suddenly had to, I was posed this question, like, what kind of life under these circumstances is worth living? And what's interesting about that question is that I was very genuinely asking myself, like, is it possible to have a life worth living right now? Because if it's not, I don't know if I'm here for the ride.
Right.
But what I came up with is that, at least in the situation I was in, there was always, always something I could do to make not just my life better, but someone else's life better. There was always something I could do. There was nothing and at no point did I feel like my potential was undone. And it's simply about doing the best you can with what you have, where you are, when you are.
What would be an example of that? If you're in this situation and you're thinking, you know, no, my life does have value. I can do a kindness, or I can do something for someone. Like, what's just a, in that setting, what was an example of something that you were able to do?
Yeah, so like really humble goals, not like you're changing the world goals, but like, I can write a letter to my mom today because maybe my mom really needs to hear from me.
Right.
Or I can beat my sit-up, like at one point I did 900 sit-ups in one day just because I was like, well, can I? Let's find out.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I don't know. There's a lot I don't know about this world. I'm going to find out. Or, you know, or just noticing the world around me. Like, the prison wasn't filled with people who were way more desperate than I was. I was one of the few people who could actually read and write. So a lot of the people, my sort of prison hustle became every day helping people write letters to people that they, either their lawyers, but most often their loved ones, their kids, their parents, their family members.
That's beautiful.
So it was worth it.
Well, I think that's a good lesson to be learned. No matter the circumstance that you're in, there's always a value that you can put out in the world.
Yep.
And a kindness that you can put out. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
How do people find you? And, you know, could you tell us quickly what you're doing that you're excited about right now, along with mothering?
Along with being a mom, yeah. So my husband and I have a podcast called Labyrinths that we work really hard on. We did just recently did a mini series all about psychedelic mushrooms, which we're super proud of. And we have an upcoming one about like the history of true crime and how we got to where we are today and where we're trying to get, or who's like trying to change it for the better, if it's possible. So you can find our work always at knoxrobinson.com. But if you want to just follow me on social media things, I'm on Twitter at Amanda Knox and on Instagram at Amama Knox. That's where you can find pictures of my cats mostly. They're very cute though, I promise.
Your cats in a bowl.
Caesar yes,
salad
you're
cats.
Right.
I'm onto your cat scene. I recently fell in love with a cat.
Yeah?
I don't want to talk about it. It wasn't supposed to happen.
It was unrequited.
It's pretty requited, actually.
Oh, no.
It sleeps on my face.
But
at any rate, thanks so much for being up for this and trying something different and kind of unexpected.
Yeah, this
really
is great.
Appreciate it. Awesome.
I love this.
Cool. Okay, so we're going to sing a song to end the program. And if you're up for singing along, please
I'll
do.
Give it a try.
Here's how it goes. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for saying hi. We'll see you next week right here at Ocean Creek.
Oh, we're going to see you next week. Let's try one more time.
Okay.
Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for saying hi. We'll see you next week right here at Ocean Creek.
Oh, we're
going to see you next week.
All right, folks, we'll see you next week right here at Ocean Creek. A big thank you to Doug Pine, Sarah Atkinson, Gosh, and Amanda Knox for being here on the show. Have a wonderful day. Put a little love out there in the world. Pick up that piece of trash, and no matter what position you're in, you can do something. Your life has value. All right. Cheers. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye. And out.
Bye.